Alright, what's good, world? It's your boy Pete Walsh, aka Lamborghini Petey. Episode 77 of the Respect the Game podcast. Shout out my boy Frankie Kaye. Last week joined the show. Always a pleasure to chop it up with the living legend. Fortunately for me, I have another living legend in here with me today. I literally, before we turned the mics on, said people want to know about this guy, what he's up to, how he got to where he is in life. And this is my bro, Joseph Sherman, social media editor at Slam, but that's just a title. It's way more than that. I believe his first podcast ever, so I'm excited that he took time out of his busy schedule to join me and chop it up for a bit. But Joseph, welcome, man.
I appreciate it, man.
We got to get an AKA, though, before we go on.
You know what it is, man. It's Sherman season here. Tuning in. First ever podcast. Hey, this is like a dream come true for me.
What do you mean?
I don't know. I've always wanted to get into the podcast world. I've always respected, you know, people who've used this platform to, you know, express their passions and, you know, get their thoughts out there. So,
dude, you should have told me that way earlier.
I definitely should have.
We would have had you on this literally minutes after you told me that. We would have done it.
I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm glad we're doing this. And that makes me even more excited. But so we're going to get into some NBA news. Mm-hmm. You know, both of us are fanatical followers. Thanks. as we need to be for Thanks. Our professions. But, you know, I think people just want to hear about you and how you got to this point in life and, you know, your skills as a photographer behind the lens. So I'm curious, you know, if people do not know, Joseph is a super talented photographer.
Appreciate that.
And has been doing amazing work, for Slam most recently, but, you know, I was privy to him and put onto him via his Instagram because, he just took fire photos of NBA players and other things. So when I heard that he was joining the staff full time, I was super excited, and he's been killing it ever since. But so how did you get into photography? Like, was this something you did as a child growing up, or did you get into the game late?
You know, for me, I'm completely self-taught. So when I moved from Illinois in 2012, after I graduated, I moved from Illinois to Jersey to start working. And I grew up with my mom and my sister pretty exclusively. You know, pops wasn't around. But when I moved, my mom was, you know, she was very upset I was moving to Jersey. Mm-hmm. You know, like, she didn't know about Jersey. I don't have family out here, nothing like that, you know, so.
You pulled the Kanye move, Chicago to Jersey.
I definitely.
Early days.
I definitely did pull a Ye move. But when I made it official that I was leaving, you know, to start working, I wanted to document the trip so she can see it, you know. So I drove to all the way to Jersey. Mm-hmm. So the, you know, the trip itself, I just got a camera off Craigslist for like $100 for some kid, you know. And every from Illinois all the way to Jersey, I would just take photos, like the road signs, the trees, you know, whatever it was. I would just take pictures so that my mom can see, you know, kind of the journey, because she's never traveled really. Mm-hmm. So this was like my thank you to her for everything she did for me to, like, take photos along the trip. And then once I got to Jersey, to put everything together and kind of send to her, you know what I mean? So I did that. I started posting pictures to, you know, to social media, to Facebook and whatnot. And people just started resonating with the photos. I started getting feedback from, you know, friends, family, strangers, you know, about the photos. I thought they were trash.
Yeah.
I look back at the photos now, you know, just for inspiration, and a lot of them are trash.
Yeah, I'm like terrified to read something. Exactly. I wrote even like 2 or 3 years ago.
I wouldn't even dare.
Yeah.
So I go back, I look at the photos now, and they're just trash. But at the time, you know, people just really, you know, gravitated towards the photos. And I was like, you know, I'm in this new place by myself, so like, what can I do, you know, to consume my time? And I was like, let me take this a little more seriously. Mm-hmm. You know, and this in 2012. Once I did that, I combined the, you know, my passion of basketball with that, and, you know, that was kind of the birth, you know, of my photography.
Yeah. So you moved to Jersey. Did you have a job lined up and everything, or?
Yeah, it was like an entry level sports marketing job with Rutgers University.
Okay.
Which was wild, because when I told my mom I was moving to Jersey, she had no idea what Jersey was. And then I told her I was moving to Piscataway, and she's just like, what are you doing?
Might as well have been moving to Europe, man.
I could have gone, it could have been anywhere, you know what I mean? But So when I got, when I got out there, it was just a little entry level sports marketing job, you know, working with the athletic department out there, you know, any regular, you know, low paying job out of college. So that was my 9 to 5. But then outside of that, you know, I was trying to be diligent about, you know, getting the flicks off. So,
so were you getting like in the mix, or were you just, you know, were you going to events and shooting them? Were you hitting people up? Like, what was,
I mean,
it's easy for someone to say like, yeah, I just picked up a camera and started shooting, but I'm sure you had, you know, many a break to get you to this point.
Yeah. I mean, the dope thing about sports is that, you know, anything could be a subject, you know? So at Rutgers, I joined in December, so it was around basketball season. So I just use, you know, the Rutgers basketball team, you know, as a, you know, as a platform and a canvas really to, you know, show the pictures. So I just took a lot of photos, you know, of the players during games. I'm thinking about it now. I'm sure those photos are terrible too. a lot of photos of the game, the players, fans, you know, for the sporting world, signage for sponsors, you know, stuff like that. And yeah, I just kept them in the vault. I worked on my craft, and then from there, you know, that's kind of where everything started.
Yeah. So who were like some of the first NBA guys you started shooting? Like, how did you get into that world? Like, how did your career progress from Rutgers to your next step, and then your next step after that?
So after Rutgers, this was around the whole scandal with the coach. I don't know if you remember the coach of Rutgers, the basketball coach. He was
Mike Rice?
Yeah.
Was that the same? Or am I bugging? I think it was Mike Rice.
He was throwing basketballs at the kids and all this. It was pretty wild.
Yeah, but they did like a sketch on SNL about it and everything, right? He's actually back coaching again.
Really?
On the high school level. He's coaching in Jersey, yeah.
Man, I hope my man's temper... hope his temper's calmed down a little bit.
I doubt it.
But that was around the time I was working there. So after that happened, the athletic department was pretty much in shambles. Like, that the AD there was, you know, got in trouble and everything. So I actually got transferred to Princeton University. And that's where I really started, you know, having a concentrated, you know, effort on photographing athletes there. But when it comes to basketball, it's really been recently, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, I went to a couple of Knicks games, you know, a few years ago, and I would bring my camera in, you know, take photos. But those were nothing official. It was just, you know, practicing my craft and whatnot. But in regards to photographing athletes, like, as the way I am now, that was very recent. Shout out to my homie, Kadeem. He actually put me in contact with Wilson Chandler.
Oh, the god.
The boy. The boy. You know, shout out to Wilson too, man. My boy Kadeem put me in contact with Wilson Chandler, and I started shooting him this year.
Yeah.
You know, doing just some lifestyle stuff, you know, following him around day to day, getting his training, you know, getting his, you know, his off the court presence, you know, trying to help build visuals in that regard. And through him, through Wilson, I met Chris Brickley, the trainer. That, you know, who's risen to where he is now. And, you know, that's where it kind of started. I was kind of brought into the world through Wilson Chandler. So, very grateful for, you know, ill will.
I wish I could say that same statement. Yeah. Brought into the world by Wilson Chandler. It's one of the most fire things ever been said on this podcast, sure.
And Will, you know, Will's one of the, you know, he's a Midwestern kid, and, you know, he's loyal to his people, and, you know, he just has one of those demeanors and those, you know, personalities that's contagious.
Yeah.
And he's dope to be around. So, yeah, very grateful, and shout out to Ill Will.
Yeah, always. Yeah, I spoke to him a little bit over the summer, and he's just a real, seems like a stand-up
dude.
He's
just a real dude, man.
Yeah. But he's boys with him and Eric Diefendorf played together. So I have a little bit of a relationship with Eric. And,
okay.
I mean, to your point, he's like, you know, Eric hit Wilson up, and Wilson was like, yeah, I'll do it. Like, just cause Eric asked him to, it wasn't I had any real weight to get it, but So you were there for at least some of the runs over the summer that took social media by storm.
Crazy.
Yeah. So what were those like?
You know, it's, you know, people always say like live sports is, you have to be there to experience, like to get a real appreciation for, you know, sports, just, you have to see it live. Mm-hmm. And basketball is definitely that way. But, you know, this was different because you're in this little gym where, you know, there's not much rooms on the sidelines for people to, you know, brace themselves out the lands in the fall, or, you know, drives and stuff like that. So it's really intimate. It was like a really intimate experience. And like when you look left and see, you know, Melo, Russ, you know, then you look right and you see Harden, you know, then Bron came.
Yeah, it's like an all-star game.
Right. It was like this, like this, like summerish all-star game, and the guys are loose. You know, it's not, no one's uptight. Everyone's hooping too. And that, and I think that's what really gave it life, was people really hooping. They didn't come in conservative, you know, trying to be too cool. Like, everybody came in hooping. So for me, being a basketball guy and a basketball nerd, like, it was hard to focus on actually shooting it, because I'm like, I want to experience it.
Yeah.
When I walked, when walking past Russ, you know, I was like, that's Russ. You know what I mean? Like, that's the Brody.
Yeah.
So, like, it was, for me, it was tough to, like, enjoy it and also, you know, work. But, nah, it was unlike anything I've ever seen. So, yeah, that was a, that was a blessed, blessed situation for me.
So do you have, like, when you're shooting a game now, do you have that, that same feeling where you're like, yo, I'm a huge basketball fan, but I also have, like, a work to do. How do you balance this?
You know, it, with, like, with anything, it's, it, with experience, you get better.
Yeah.
You know, so now, now when I'm going to, you know, games, or I'm shooting games, whether it's high school, it can be high school, it could be strangers at a park, or, you know, NBA game, I'm focused on, you know, the mission at hand, and that's to get the best, you know, content possible. Mm-hmm. So now it's like I go in and my mindset is, you know, strictly focused on getting the best, you know, product possible. So right, and so now I'm not really starstruck really mm-hmm. as much. And as I said, I think when the Cavs were in Brooklyn, Bron walked right past me, like literally right past me to the locker room, and I've never been more shook in my life. Like, he walked past me and I was like, oh my god.
So when I went out in 2012, I was out in Vegas for the like Team USA practices, and they had the scrimmage out there, and well, so Bron had like his media session, and it was right after they won the title, so mm-hmm. it was right after he won his first ring, I think 2012 mm-hmm. and then like he was sitting there and I was like, oh shit, like should I go say what up to him? Like, I got legit nervous, like right. I was going to talk to like a beautiful woman or right, something right. And like I was like overcome by this, such a weird feeling, so I like sheepishly walked over and I was like, excuse me, Bron. He just looked at me, he's like, no more interviews, man. And I was like, oh no, I'm from SLAM. You know, just
you wanna, persevered.
Yeah. And I was okay. just like, you know, just want to congratulate you on the title. Like, we're so happy for you. You really deserve, you really earned it. And he just looked at me. He's like, that's what's up, man. Thank you. Shook my hand. I was on cloud nine, man.
That's all I need. That's, all, it, that's yeah. all you need. Yeah.
But you know, your title now is social media editor, mm-hmm. With SLAM, but how did you turn that into a professional career? Like, man. You know, everybody, there's tons of people who can yeah. sit out there and tweet all day, go on IG
yeah.
and have these great, well, sometimes have these great tweets and posts, but yeah. you know, turn that into a career is kind of something special, because that's what some, a lot of people are trying to do. So what yeah. was your path like?
Man, you know, every day I'm amazed at how powerful social media is mm-hmm. and, you know, the influence that it can have on someone's life and the career. The fluence is real. You know what I mean? But, yeah, like, I mean, with, like, anything in advertisement, you know, back in the day, it used to be print, used to be huge. You know, then, you know, commercial TV advertisement, you know, became a thing and was massive. But, you know, nowadays it's social media. It's the, that new form of, you know, advertising. So even in my work, I knew I had to communicate and document my work in a way that was social friendly. Mm-hmm. So every time I shoot, I think social. I have social in mind. I don't think magazine. I don't think billboard. I don't think, you know, TV. I think social. Like, how can this be digested best for social? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So once I took that approach, I feel like my work, you know, kind of, you know, took itself to the next level. And then from there, once I started to do that, I think that helped build out my resume. And along with the stuff I did, and you know, in office, I think people started to see also how I communicated my personal work.
Yeah.
So once that happened, I think that's kind of how, you know, I gravitated towards the digital, you know, landscape. And yeah, like you said, like being a social media editor, I would have never thought that that would have been a title.
Yeah.
Or that crazy. That, even when I tell people now, that's what I do, they're like, what do you, you tweet?
Yeah. It's funny, like, explaining it to, like, I even have a trouble, like, explaining what my job to my
you
parents
post to Facebook?
Now. Yeah, exactly. Like, but they're just like, oh, that's great. Like, right, whatever right, right. makes you happy. But yeah, I mean, and to your point, like, that versatility is so important, mm-hmm. Especially in today's media landscape, as, you know, words become, unfortunately, less and less important. Yeah. And there's this shift towards, you know, advertisers want to capitalize on social followings and all that. So, you know, it's important to, as you put it, like, think in that social sphere, which is something I still kind of struggle with, because like, I'm just washed and old school, and like, because I still think it's just so dope to see things in print. And I'm sure you feel that same way. Like, if you see your photo in a magazine, it's like,
it's, you know, I'll never forget the first time seeing in Slam, like, before I was working here officially. You know, I was freelancing with Slam, taking photos, and the first time I saw like a picture I took on paper, I lost it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, I freaked out. I was like, yo, this is bonkers. You know what I mean? So yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because like, I used, same thing, when I used to get bylines and
I'm sure it's the web, same thing with writing.
I was like, oh, this is dope, but then like, I got an actual magazine, I was like, this is fucking crazy.
You see your name by Peter Walsh.
Yeah, like in the masthead. And I just like, I'm thinking about all the people I used to read in Slam and, you know, Double XLs and The Source, all that shit.
That's why it kills me that like, we, as much as I love and I'm grateful for the emergence of social media, like it hurts me, because then like, with that, the consequences, you know, print.
Yeah.
Like falling off.
Yeah.
And like, for artists and like for me, like I need those tangible things that I can, like, I need magazines I can touch. I need like, certain pictures from, you know, back in the day when that I can look at for inspiration. And like, you don't get that same feeling from, you know, a web page,
right?
Or Instagram. You like, sometimes I need to just feel like a certain magazine or a certain paper stock to have that, you know, the creative juices flow a little bit. So I'll always be grateful for like seeing a picture of mine or picture anybody that I get inspiration from, like that I can just feel and like hold, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And you know, I always try, I've fallen off on this a little bit, but I always try and like be reading a book, either on the subway.
I'm trash at reading books.
Yeah, but I, like, so much of my day is consuming like
things. I'm the goat at reading the first three pages of a book and then stopping. Like, no one's better than me at doing that.
But like, so much of my day of consuming things in like 140 character bits, and like, you know, I just feel like my attention span like is at the same.
That's interesting.
So I try and, you know, and I haven't done this probably in the last like 6 weeks or so. I've definitely fallen off, but I always try and keep a book in my bag, so if I'm on the subway, I can just take it out. Like, cause I don't know, man, I feel like I'm, as everyone in this office is, I'm addicted to my phone. It's crazy. Yeah. So I just try and, you know, get something different in front of my eyes, because I can feel myself going blind as well already.
So you make a conscious effort to combat like the digestion, like how you digest the internet now. So you purposely can feel yourself like doing that. Like,
yeah, I mean, I think as like, as a writer, and like, I don't write, you know, articles on a day-to-day basis, but you know, even now, if I get an assignment, say every 4 weeks, and I gotta pump out, you know, 1500 to 1800 words, and for the last 6 weeks, all I've been looking at is things and like 140 character bits, memes, and like social and captions. I'm just like, do I even remember how to write that many words? Like, what am I doing? So, you know, I just try and always find, you know, a good book to read. And I've hate read a few books over the last couple of months. Just,
that's hilarious. Just hate read.
But my boy was telling me, he was like, honestly, that's probably a good thing, because like, it teaches you to like, if you're working on a project or something you don't like, it just teaches you to like get through it. So I don't know if he was just saying that to be nice to me or what, but I trust him.
Nah,
so
that sounds like sound advice.
So who's been your favorite player or a person to shoot? Like, what have been some of your favorite shoots? Not necessarily an NBA game, but anything.
That's a good question. The photo I took of Westbrook at the Brickley run was probably at the time my favorite photo. Like, when I'm shooting, I can tell when things are going well, when like the first few shots are already like, okay, I think this is good.
Yeah.
You know, there's been times though where like, and other photographers or videographers know, like, you'll be shooting and like the pictures aren't just coming out, the lighting's not right. No matter like what you change your settings to in the camera, it's not looking the way you want it to. When I shot Russ, every shot was like, yeah, this is fire. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
You know, and he made it like, I'm blessed to even have seen him that close in person, because like, you really don't have an appreciation for these athletes. When you watch him on TV, like, you have to really see them in person. And then that run, like, I saw him, I was feet away from him at times. And like, he's just like, ridiculously athletic, you know. So yeah. At the time, it was the Russ photos were like my favorite, you know, photos. But recently, I shot Bol Bol.
Yeah, so I was hoping you were going
to
say this.
Yo, shout out to Bol Bol, man. I will not. Let me just say this: I will not stand for any Bol Bol slander.
Nah, I mean, I don't think it exists. Honestly,
nah, you know how the internet works.
Yeah, you're right. What they say, his legs are skinny.
All these people at home typing the funniest jokes of all time. You
he's
know?
A rock star.
He's
man.
A rock star, man. Shout out to Bol Bol. But I was in Chicago recently for Jordan Brand's Class of 32 Like Mike Invitational.
Mm-hmm. Wow, so that yeah, was impressive yeah. that you reeled that name off. I can never remember what those things are called.
I'm actually proud of myself for that. But yeah, they had this Invitational to kind of commemorate the old school Gatorade and, you know, MJ ad back in the Be Like Mike ad back yeah. in the day. But anyways, Bol Bol was there and, you know, I was saying earlier about like being better and not being starstruck. When I saw him like walk on the court, first of all, he walked in the gym in the off-white Prestos, hood up. You know, he didn't say anything to anybody. He was chilling. But when he got on the court, you can feel his presence. You yeah. know, like he didn't say much. He wasn't like jumping around, rah rah, and all this stuff. He was just going through the motions and whatnot. When I shot him, and the way the photos came out, his demeanor and all the photos, those are by far to date my favorite photos as a photographer. Mm-hmm. And then I met him afterwards. I talked to him briefly after the game. Well spoken, good kid. Every person that came up to him looking for pictures and wanted to talk to him, he didn't shy anybody away. He took photos, 100 photos with kids. So off the court, he was dope too. Which yeah. you know, you meet people, especially in the industry, you meet people where you see him on paper or you see him in person, and it's one thing, you see him on paper, it's, you know, a little different. So he was one of those guys where on court, he was, you know, majestic. And then off the court, you know what I mean? He was dope. So,
yeah.
To date, Bol Bol photos are goat status for me.
Yeah, Frankie's told me many times that he's, like, on the AAU circuit, he's one of the most beloved. Like, all the kids love him. All his teammates like, think yeah, like he's the man.
Even after they won, you know, kids were dancing, celebrating. He just put his little hat on. He was just standing there.
He's too cool, man.
Yeah, he's way too cool. I mean, when you're hanging out with Uzis and the Cardis and all that stuff, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, the high school kids are nothing to him, man. So when you see, like, a photo of yours go viral or start to go viral and get picked up everywhere, like, what, I don't know, I guess, like, what goes through your head? Because that's such, like, it's such a different, you know, it's not, I'm trying to put this the right way. It's, like, it's a different experience seeing that digitally compared to, like, knowing it's in print and it's just like out there in the out world, the universe, you don't really know who's reading it, but to see it digitally, like, so what's your reaction when you see something like that?
Man, well, first and foremost, gratefulness.
Yeah,
you know, like I would have never thought, you know, a photo I took would, you know, just see the eye, like be in front of so many people, and that's the thing, that's the dope thing about something being viral, is that you don't have a real appreciation for how many people see it. Mm-hmm. Not the people who interact with it. The people who interact with it is one thing, but to think about how many people see it is crazy. But I'm grateful, man, and I try my best to respond to as many people as possible. So like the thing that comes along with something going viral is like the amount of people who, you know, reach out, or the amount of people who, you know, comment on a photo, or, you know, DM you with questions and stuff like that. So for me, it's just being going viral is an opportunity for me to, you know, influence and reach out to, you know, younger photographers who reach out and are like, yo, what camera are you using?
Yeah.
What lens are you using? How do you do this and that? You know? So like with that, like I just try to, the thing going through my head is this is nuts. this is wild. And then the second thing is just like, all right, how can I use this opportunity, you know, to influence other people in a positive way? You know? So I try to, like, a lot of people reach out with questions. I try to get back to them. Advice, if they have, you know, advice and stuff like that. So that's the main thing, man. It's just like I find myself sometimes just sitting on my phone and like just like looking at the, like, the growth of the, whether it's a picture, just looking at it increase.
Yeah.
And just, I'm just thinking to myself, this is wild, this is crazy. Yeah. You know, but I'm very grateful, man. I'm very grateful.
Yeah, I know, like, you know, this podcast doesn't have like a huge following or anything, but well, we were out in New Orleans for All-Star last February. Mm-hmm. So this past February. And this is when Abe, shout out my guy Abe, was still doing the show. And we had like just a handful of people come up to us and they were like, yo, like we fuck with the show. And I was so taken aback. I was like, yo, for real? And I was like, give the guy a hug. That's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah. There's been a couple of times where I've been out, whether it's events or.
I was like, my wife doesn't even listen to this, man. Thank you.
Like those people immediately turn into your family, though.
Yeah.
Like it's like as soon as you have the interaction, they're immediately the homies, whoever it is, yeah. No matter where you at.
My boy Mike from Japan, who isn't from Japan at all.
shout out to Mike.
Always been a big listener. I think that was it. It was either China or Japan. Now I can't remember. So I apologize if you're listening to this now. But yeah, I've had people hit me up in my DMs just being like, yo, I love this show. Can you shout me out? That happened like 3 times. But hey, that's more than zero. So I'll take it.
Nah, man. You gotta be grateful, man. You just gotta be grateful for those people who either trust or see, you know, kind of whatever your vision is, whether that's podcast, writing, photography, whatever it is. But yeah, I've had a couple times where I've been out and people will come up to me and be like, yo, you Shermie season? And I'm like, I'm so taken aback that I'm like, wait, what? Am I? Yeah. Oh, yeah. What's up? You know, but people like know me from, you know, my Instagram handle. And every time I'm just like, I really like, you're the homie. And thank you. Thank you for, you know, speaking highly of the work, because that's really the mission, man. Is like I want to be I want to document my time of basketball so that, and you know, future generations, kids who love basketball, and like in 100 years, 200 years from now, our time will be history to them. You know what I mean, and I want to document the, you know, the game that I love in a way that hopefully like in the future those people see it and go, oh, that was Westbrook, that was Bron. You know what I mean? That was Bol Bol. Like, they have those images to go back and, like, be a fan of. So, that's the goal, man.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I kind of just had that realization pretty recently, too. I was out with my boy who, he works down on Wall Street. And, you know, we were just talking. This is my old roommate from college. So, this is, like, you know, this is my boy. We can talk about anything. And he was just like, yo, like, you know, I'm making a lot of money and I'm doing well. But he's like, I remember when you were, you know, crashed on our other friend's floor, like to make it to work on time the next day. And he was like, I just saw your email signature as senior editor now. And he's like, you're documenting history, bro. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah, you're right
You are, but that's true, man. You are.
So I don't know. It's crazy to think about that and like, just think about the history of Slam, and you know, I'm looking to my right. We got Iverson and D Wade covers next to us, and it's like
got Lance Stevenson tucked away. who by the way, Lance Stevenson is my spirit animal.
Yo,
like shout out to.
I won't accept shout out Lance, to Lance. You won't accept Bol Bol slander. I won't accept
respect,
Lance slander.
Respect.
But like, you know, we're looking at the Iverson Soul on Ice cover, and
I'm
like,
rocking the
and you're rocking the shirt. Rocking so tea, you know, that's just something that's so iconic and will just live on forever. And like, for us to even be a part of that is, I don't think I'll really grasp it until like probably, you know, 5-10 years from now when I'm doing whatever I'm doing.
Yeah, because like you said earlier, like you don't know who's in print, you don't know who's looking at it, whose hands it's gotten into. But like, just imagine if like some kid right now has it, he saves it, you know, and one day he has a kid, and he goes to his kid and he's like, yo, you don't know about this. This is, you know, Slam and whatnot. And then
you don't know about Shermie season,
right? But I'm saying like he like goes to a couple of pages and like your article, you know, that you wrote on whoever, is something that resonates with him.
Yeah.
You know, that's to me that's what it's about in the world to create, like being creative. But like that's powerful to me, like that you can have that that influence potentially on somebody.
So you mentioned Nat Butler earlier, but are there any
legend
photographers?
Legend
that you. Because, you know, you said you were self-taught, but were there any guys that you looked to who and you liked their style, whether it be Nat or someone else, like on the internet, not on the internet, but who was popping on IG or what have you?
Yeah. I don't know if this is going to sound crazy, but I've never, and I talk a lot about this with close friends of mine and people who know me, but I've never had a person or photographer that I like looked up to or I saw their work and I was like, oh, I want to mimic that, you know, or... I'm sure I'm inspired by, you know, certain things, but I've never had that I've never been able to label a person or a photographer as like an inspiration of mine.
Yeah.
Which is probably me not being diligent at doing my research, which I think I should do a better at, because I know Nat now. And I've met him, and just he's hearing
the man, period.
the fact that he shot Jordan in his, you know, in his glory, mm-hmm. and then he's also now shooting Bron in his glory. Just think of that gap,
yeah,
between MJ and Bron, and he's documented everything in that. So like, I should be more diligent at like knowing my history and like the photographers that came before me and stuff like that. But when I was teaching myself and I was just trying to like document life, I didn't look to people for like what was dope. I just try to use my camera to bring to life what I saw. You know what I mean? So yeah, I'm gonna be better at that. And if we had this conversation like a year from now, I'll have like some names, and Nat will be one of those names.
You want to talk a little like actual ball, or what's good?
Man, let's get into it.
Cool. So yeah, we might as well start with LeBron.
Yeah.
Since we just brought him up, but you know, obviously they got off to a slow start.
Everyone was losing their minds.
Yeah.
The Cavs are trash. Bron's done.
And now, you know, 13 games later, they've won 13 in a row. Bron right. is playing at one of the highest levels of his career.
Is this the best we've seen Bron? Year 15?
I mean, that kind of makes me want to say yes, just because it is year 15. Right. And like, when guys are think about how many guys were just shot at year 15, and he's literally the best player in the league. Think about how many guys were
shot at year 10.
Yeah. So, and he's just still destroying people. Right. And, but I don't know, man, like the first and second year he was in Miami were unbelievable.
Yeah. Angry Bron was different.
And when they won, what, I think like 23 in a row or whatever it was.
I think with the Heat, they won 25.
Yeah.
And something crazy like that.
Like when he was playing in those games, he was unstoppable. I mean, he is now, but that was like a whole different level. Like he was dunking on everybody and everything.
Anybody.
So I don't know. I have a hard time saying. I don't want to get caught up in like the recency bias thing, which you know happens a lot these days because of, you know, the 24-hour news cycle and what have you. But but because it is year 15 and he's playing at this level, it I have a hard time saying no.
And it's not only is he dominating, but it seems like, and this is even weird to say, but it seems like he's really starting to understand his game and like what's working for him. Like he picking and choosing when he's going to just go for that poster dunk as opposed to laying it up. He still has that that pulse on the game of like, I'm gonna get this guy the ball because he might need a little more, like incorporating other guys, stuff like that. So like it seems like his IQ, even though that's been his thing his whole career, like his basketball, it seems like it's even there, it's more now than ever, you know
and,
what I mean?
And I think that comes through in his pre and post game interviews he's doing now too. Even like he's always been like a basketball savant, but even nowadays the way he talks about the game and how he plays is like, man, this guy is just seeing things that a normal human being does not ever see.
Wait. Year 15, his career averages 27-7-7. That's his career averages. Year 15, he's averaging 28-8-8.
And he's shooting what, like 60% or something ridiculous?
This dude is unreal. Did you see, I know you saw him say he uses 2K.
Yeah.
To test different lineups.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, even by accident, like he gave them the biggest endorsement possible. I'm sure the people at the 2K office were going insane. They will
never have a bigger endorsement or more advertising than that.
Yeah. But, I mean, in my eyes, you know, the regular season doesn't start until IT gets back.
Right.
And I mean, like 13 in a row. I mean, it's crazy to look at the standings and see the Celtics at 22-4. But
yeah,
I have a hard time not believing that the Cavs are going to catch them when IT comes back.
Yeah. And during this streak, you know, they haven't been blowouts. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been, you know, the Cavs just dominating.
Yeah, they barely beat the Kings on Wednesday.
You know, but in pretty much every close game, LeBron's taken over in the fourth, or, you know, as a collective, the Cavs just kind of figured it out. It seems like Wade recently is starting to get a little fresh legs, you know. He's getting those blocks, those plays where we see vintage Wade, you know, stuff like that. Korver, who has probably been the secret weapon of this, you know, 13-game win streak, Korver has been knocking down pretty much everything, it seems like. Clutch, too.
And, I mean, I'm looking at Kevin Love. You know, he's playing 30 minutes, averaging right under 20 points a game. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he's playing out of his mind, too. Mm-hmm. So, it's all clicking for them. They're about to get IT, Tristan back.
I think it's going to be scary when IT comes back.
Man, I can't wait for him to come back. I was watching with the Book of Isaiah. Is that what it's called? Yeah. Man. And he's just like, he's like the realest dude
he seems like
in
it.
The NBA, man.
He seems like it.
And I have a hard time, you know, talking to people who don't like him, but I don't think the people really like that really exist. Like, he seems to be so universally beloved.
He definitely seems like that guy who is universally loved.
Yeah.
People, like, I don't know if is people's champ the right term for that.
The people, I feel like Lance Stevenson's like the people's champ.
Right, right, right.
Like, cause you know, IT's got like too much love. Like, right, he can't be the people's champ, but he's just, I don't know.
But he is one of those guys where, like, in any circle, anywhere, he gets that, gets that respect.
Yeah. I mean, if everyone from LeBron to Iverson respects you and has love for you, like, and even Kobe, like, says how much he enjoys watching him play. So once you got that status, like, you're basically
the status we all strive for.
Yeah, you're the GOAT in my eyes, man.
Yeah. And, like, I feel like he had that already through his career, but to see, like, but the season he had last year with the Celtics, I think, solidified.
For sure.
Just solidified that. Like, for the things, I don't know if I would say took for granted, but, like, last year I would watch him, and I see he put up 50. Okay, cool.
Yeah,
Two games later, he'll put up 51. I'm like, all right, that's cool. Next game, he'll put up 40, and I'm like, okay. Because he went through that stretch where he was averaging, like, 37.
Yeah.
Like, over, like, a course of a, you know, a good number of games. And, like, you kind of just took for granted how great he was.
Yeah.
And I think he even mentioned that, like, earlier this year. He was like, yo, I think people forget.
Yeah.
I've been going at people's heads for a while.
So, I did the cover story on him last year, and I was in Boston for a few days. And I went to Cavs-Celtics. It was, like, a Wednesday night ESPN game. And just seeing him in Boston was, like, it was an insane experience, man.
Yeah.
Like, and he played out of his mind, number one, but the love for him there was really, really real. And but I don't know. I think the same thing's going to happen in Cleveland.
Yeah.
You know, they get behind that team like crazy too.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't see anything changing, especially from his output level from IT. Like, I really think he's going to come in and be dominant. And going back to the greatness of LeBron, it's like LeBron understands that.
Yeah.
LeBron's going to have no hesitation getting IT the ball in crunch situations. If IT's hot, feeding him, you know what I mean? Pumping him up. Like, and that's the thing about Bron is, like, he's that guy who always capes for, you know, the guys who get talked down on. So, like, the JRs, he took a shot at the Knicks saying, you know, they just do JR in a trade. We'll take that. You know what I mean? Like, the Shumps, he stands up for. And IT's another guy like that, with that chip on his shoulder, something to prove. And LeBron, he's only there to be like, yo, I know you hear what they're saying about you in the newspapers.
Bro, that first game when Thomas spring, starts to get hot, man. It's going to be insane.
I can't wait, honestly.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah. But totally, I mean, still NBA, but totally kind of unrelated. You know, I've been hearing and reading a lot about how Tibbs is mismanaging his players in Minnesota. And actually, I got a gripe with this, man. You know, I understand.
Talk about it.
I understand, like, all the research into rest and not playing your players too many minutes and this down to third, but the Timberwolves are 15-11. They haven't been to the playoffs since Garnett was there. And with the roster they have now, between Towns, Wiggins, Teague, Jimmy Butler, and Taj, you know.
It's a nice team.
You know, they have to make the playoffs. They have to. And Tibbs knows he has to make the playoffs or he's going to probably get fired.
Facts.
So what do you want him to do? You don't want him to play his guys? And, like, I've been hearing a lot of people and reading people saying that guys like Shabazz Muhammad should play more.
Did he officially change his name yet? Is it just Baz?
I don't know.
Shout out to him.
Shout out to Baz. But which I understand and I get, but look, man, he's coaching kind of for his gig at this point.
Yeah.
You know, they gotta make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And if you're sitting at 15-11 and I don't buy the fact that guys can't go that many minutes.
Right. And I mean, right now, 15-11 has them at fourth in the West.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at this point in the season, if you were to say the Timberwolves are fourth in the West, that's, to me, a win.
Yeah,
right
I'm
now.
Taking that.
Yeah, I'm taking that.
All day.
Who are, and right behind them, you got Portland right behind them, Denver, Jazz, Pelicans, OKC, currently outside the playoff, but they'll get back. But right now, you're sitting at fourth in the West. It seems like the players, they're getting into a groove. What are they, 4-1 in division? Yeah, I'm not rolling. Yeah, I'm with you on this. It's like, and another thing is they're young guys too.
Yeah.
So if it's anybody that should be out there playing minutes, getting that experience, it's the young guys.
Exactly.
I'm like, who's the veteran? I guess Taj.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be.
Jamal.
Teague's not a veteran.
He's like 28, right? But, I mean, look, you got Towns and Wiggins. You got to let those boys run, man.
Yeah, Jimmy, too.
Yeah.
Jimmy has to be out there running. And, yeah, I agree with you. Like, if I'm sitting at 4 right now in the West, all things considered, I'm in a good position. And they've had some good wins this year.
And, look, I'm not saying that, like, you know, the rest and playing too many minutes and all those studies aren't real things. But, like, it's tough for me to totally buy in because when you look at a team like the Nets, right, who are huge proponents of sports science and practice all these, and then Jeremy Lin goes down the first game of the season, D'Angelo Russell goes down, you know, guys are constantly hurting this team. Like, the shit, it happens. Like, you know, injuries happen. It's unfortunate. It's the worst part of the game. And, you know, you're looking at a guy like Anthony Davis. They you know, they do everything short of wrapping him in bubble wrap during the season. He always gets hurt.
Nike definitely has to come out with some bubble wrap.
And, you know, you look, Steph Curry just went down. Freak play. Sad, yeah. So
Booker just went down.
So, I don't know. I mean, I feel like, yes, you can do as much as you can to prevent injuries, but they happen, and it's a really shitty, unfortunate part of the game.
And that's been the stigma around Tibbs his whole career, kind of, right? Like, that's been the thing. He runs players into the ground.
Which, I guess there is some validity to it now that I'm thinking about it. Like, you look what happened with, like, Joakim Noah and Luol Deng and guys like that, even D. Rose. But Rose, I mean, all his injuries are freakish.
Yeah, I don't think Rose even qualifies for this conversation. Yeah, I mean, look, they're a young team. They have to be in the playoffs. They brought in Jimmy to kind of solidify that their team to, you know, to compete in the West. And truthfully, that starting five is a good lineup.
Yeah,
they have to be out there hooping.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, that's, you know, and that's another thing about this new generation is, like, with all the analytics, the stats, and people are so, you know, invested in numbers and all this stuff. It's like, at the end of the day, you just got to hoop.
Yeah, exactly. You got to play.
Also, if I'm a young, if I'm a 24, 25 year old star in the league, and I just got a max contract, I'm out there hooping.
Yeah, facts.
I'm out there hooping. You know what I mean? And, like, if coach, I want to be one. I wish there were, like, guys where, like, coach calls for you to come out the game, and they're like, nah.
Yeah.
Let me. I'm going. I'm good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, like, yeah, it's like it's a new generation. But
And I mean, to that point, and I'm pretty sure Wiggins and Towns have only missed, like, a combined, like, 4 games in the last 2 years.
Last year, Towns averaged 25 and 12.
Yeah, and I think 25, he played.
And he played in all 82
games.
He
did, right? I was going to say he played at least 80.
I don't know, man. I don't think people truly appreciated the season he had last year.
Yeah.
25 and 12 over 82 games?
Yeah.
As a 21 year old,
I think he's 22
maybe.
Yeah.
Regardless,
yeah,
you know what I mean. It's so insane. Like, he's a dog.
Yeah, his def. I mean, defensively, he's been pretty awful. But this is slam, man. We don't care.
Are you getting buckets? Okay, yeah,
exactly. That might as well be the cover line. Are you getting buckets?
Like, 3 question marks. With that being said, though,
add an emoji somewhere in there.
Yeah, gotta throw an emoji for the kids. With that being said, though, I think it's a consistency around the office that Kawhi is, like, the favorite player in the slam art department / room of, like, us three.
See, I don't know what goes on in that room, so.
Our boy Max, he thinks Kawhi is the Holy Grail.
Don't let him brainwash you, man. The Holy Grail, Grail of the Spurs is slow-mo, let's be real.
Shout out to Jersey. No, slow-mo is different, but Kawhi, like, I was watching on YouTube the other day, just like a 9-minute compilation of him just locking people up.
Yeah.
No buckets, just him just guarding up and taking the ball from grown men.
You know how disrespectful you must feel when you see Kawhi come up and he literally just rips the ball out of your hands?
There was one clip of Steph, he wasn't playing with the ball, but, you know, Steph, like, he came into court, you know, all cozy and stuff, like everything was sweet. Kawhi just took the ball from him and dunked it. It's like, not around here.
Bro, that is, I love that, man. Yeah. Dude, shouts to Kawhi. Yeah, another guy we can't wait for.
He needs to come back. Wait, who are you more excited to come back, Kawhi or IT?
That's tough.
I think I know my answer, but I might change it as soon as I say it.
I'm going to go IT. Just because I have a personal bias.
True.
Yeah, so.
Respect.
Yeah.
I think I'm going the Claw.
But I'm down. I mean, I'm down for either, though. Like, I love watching this first play.
They both need to be back.
Yeah. But, yeah, let's just talk about the Warriors real quick. Mm-hmm. They, like, playing with this chip on their shoulder, it seems like.
Yeah, what's this chip they got?
I don't get it. I really don't get it.
If it's one team that shouldn't have a chip.
Exactly.
They have to, you know. What do you have a chip for?
I mean, I don't know if it's just.
What's your chip?
They got to, like, motivate themselves for the regular season. Because it's such a, true. You know. A team of their caliber, they could, you know, catch themselves slipping in the regular season.
But you can tell by their demeanor when they're playing. They have a massive chip.
Yeah,
like they're out. I mean, I guess they do kind of have to have this against the world mentality, mm-hmm. which makes sense. But it seems like it's transforming into like.
Well, it's not realistic though. Right. You know? Yeah, it's the world against them. It's the real mentality. I don't know what it is, man. I mean, I think a lot of it has to do... Actually, you know what? I don't know if this is what it is, but I'm wondering if a lot of it has to do with, like, Durant's offseason and how bizarre it was, and it's kind of carried over.
Top three bizarre offseasons individually ever.
I think he might be number one.
He might be number one. Yeah.
So I wonder if that has any carryover effect.
And a lot of it was self-inflicted. It was the universe happening. Because like it was a lot of stuff that he could have controlled.
For sure. And he's never really been the dude to get ejected from games and all this that he's doing this year. It's like, I don't know. It feels weird. Yeah. It feels almost a little fabricated, I guess would be the word. But I don't know. Maybe we're seeing villain KD.
Listen, when villain Bron was at his peak, I was scared watching it on TV.
Yeah, and like KD, like, you know, he had a triple double on Wednesday night. He was just killing people. Yeah. So
now with that being said, with all that's been said, with Steph going down, and you never want to see anybody get hurt, of course. But I was talking to my homies the other day, and I was like, when I saw a tweet of someone saying, it's kind of crazy that arguably the one of the top five greatest scorers in NBA history is averaging only 24 a game. And I was like, who are they talking about? And they were talking about KD. Mm-hmm. And then that got me thinking. I'm like, yeah, like when was the last time we just saw KD like just go in his bag for four quarters and put up like 50?
About to see it for 2 weeks.
She did, but that's so again, like you never want to see anybody go down, but like I'm excited to see KD just like as the guy now, like in his bag for four quarters. Jumpers, dunks.
This is definitely not a shot at Bron, but the way KD was the best player on the court in the finals.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
He was in his bag. I'm not gonna lie. He brought the duffel bag to every game for sure.
Unstoppable. Yeah, and he was doing it on defense too. Like he's low key turned himself into a really good defender, shot blocker.
Yeah, it seemed like he's invested in and using his freakish his stature and how long he is and pause and all that you know, but he like he's locking up now. He's playing D. He's in the paint, like getting dirty, getting blocks on bigs, on guards, you know, who's ever. So that's an added, you know, component to his game. But yeah, I'm excited to see like 40-point KD for an extended period of time.
I'm here for 60-point Clay, too, all day.
60-point Clay, 11 dribbles.
Man, I feel like, I don't know, maybe I'm crazy, but I feel like we might get one of those a year from him. Yeah. He just goes off that for at least, like, 53.
Yeah. Nah, I'm here for the Clay 60 game, for sure.
So before we dip, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about our boys over at the Big Baller Brand Triple headquarters. B's.
So international.
They're going international, man. Jello and LaMelo signed with an agent today.
Could you imagine?
What?
Could you imagine that?
Signing with an agent, period? No.
No, them two on the same team international. I don't know. Should I book my ticket to wherever right now?
Man, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if we sent someone for their first game. So you might want to call dibs on that.
Let me email Figs right now.
Man, I'm like I feel super.
Yeah. What were your,
I had many.
What was your initial reaction when you saw it? Like, just initial reaction to Triple B's International.
So my initial reaction with Jello, I'm gonna take it back a little further. But when Jello got pulled out of school, you know, I honestly felt a little bad for him. Mm-hmm.
It was such a kid. First off, anyone who's ever been that age in life and has traveled and has not thought about stealing something once as a kid, like, come on.
We're not promoting that. We're not promoting it.
But like, come on.
Yeah. So you know, I felt bad for him. But then I was like, how much does he really care about school? Like, he wants to hoop. Right. So if he can, and he can't hoop, he literally can't hoop while he's at UCLA right now.
Right.
So maybe this is the right move for him and for LaMelo too. Like, LaMelo clearly didn't give a shit about school. So
facts.
he might as well try and get paid while he can, man. I'm a big proponent of.
Oh, he's about to get paid.
Yeah. Like, this is what I've been saying on this podcast pretty much the whole time of its existence. The fact that kids are required to go to college for 1 year and lose a year of potential income when their window for income is so short compared to people like you and I is such bullshit. Yeah. And I will forever say that until the rule changes.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, I feel the same way about the kids like Javon Quinterly, whose college status is up in the air, and all the kids who got caught up in the FBI investigation and potentially getting, you know, they should be making money if they're that popular and that good at something. You should get paid.
I mean, even just to the simplest of you having the right, you should have the right to earn income.
Yeah, exactly.
And if your profession and what you're skilled at is hooping, then get the bag for hooping.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you should have that right. So, yeah, I mean, it to me, you know, it's well documented. LeVar's his antics, whatever you want to call it, like, has all been a part of a greater plan, and it's worked to date. It's worked whatever his plan is. There's nothing different about this. Like, them signing the agent. The Big Baller Brand Instagram account tweeted out or posted a picture today of Jello and Mello and just said, coming soon. You know what I mean? So, like, to me, like, LeVar has all this stuff planned out.
Yeah.
If the agent stuff is true, they're gonna get a bag from, I don't know what international team, what market they'll be in, but the money will be waiting.
Yeah, but again, these kids.
They already got Lambos, right? Everybody got Lambos.
I'm gonna say allegedly because I don't know. No.
Allegedly got Lambos.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, shout to them. If you can get the money, man.
I wish my pops was. I need to. Hey, LeVar, adopt me, bro. Shermie season, adopt Shermie season. Big baller Joseph. Triple B's, for sure.
But Shermie, thank you, man.
Yeah.
Thank you
for having me.
Yeah, bro, we can do this any... Had I known how badly you wanted to hop on, I would have...
Listen,
we can do this anytime you want, man. Just let me know. But looking forward to continue to work together.
Yes, sir.
Keep doing our thing.
Yes, sir.
Shout out to everyone who listened. You can find this pod on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, whatever the hell else is out there. We're everywhere.
That was my first question. Like, what do you promote podcasts to? Let's get it.
But no, thanks, Jimmy. We'll talk soon, bro. Thanks, everyone. Peace.